The DraftKings Fantasy Football Show. Sunday morning, 8 to 10 on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Mike Lockhart and Tucker Silva help you get your lineup set for the day on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
That is hammered in the left. It is gone. Pinch hit three-run home run, Nunez. And the Red Sox open up game one. 8-4 here in the seventh.
Ian started this yesterday. He said four more wins. Brock Holt chimed in. Others have chimed in. Four more wins and nipple rings in honor of Chris Sale. Are you in for that?
I'll get my belly button pierced for Chris Sale. But I don't know about up there.
Very amazing.
Their actions will be taken.
It's your Toucher and Rich.
Big Drinker.
Drunk and Red Sox recap.
Like, he's
good. On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
98.5, The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich and... almost dead Nick, they call him. I don't call him that. I call him Young Nicholas. The seed made of Mark Gemelli.
Mm-hmm.
His seed turned into Nicholas.
You got to put a lot of love in it when you make the meatball.
That's right. And Nicholas was out at the game last night. Did you get in the game last night? Yeah.
All right. Very nice.
Nicholas taking in the World Series.
And getting in, you know, these games, they've been long. They've been even good. At least, like, every game so far that you've been staying up late for, mostly for the postseason, has been a good game. They've been entertaining. However, my God, Kershaw takes forever to pitch. Forever to pitch. And Sale, God love him, man. He gets up on that mound, just bang, 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 bang.
Sure, the pitches might be all over the place, but at least he's fast.
At least he's fast, right. Yes. If you're going to get up there and you're going to be erratic, I don't care. Just do it fast. And Kershaw, oh, my God. And is there anyone more that you just want to take your finger, put under his chin, and go, whoop, and close his mouth? That man's mouth is agape. And that is one hell of a gape. It's like it's like a wind tunnel when you go. But thank goodness we got another good one last night, despite staying up as late as we did. Even Wallach, you were up the entire time,
oh, yeah.
Right?
I didn't
even fall asleep on the couch. But Nick was out there talking to the people as they left Fenway Park. What about 12:15 was when it ended?
3 hours and 52 minutes.
Yeah, so it was just after 12. Yeah, so that sounds about right.
Yeah.
The 8:09 first pitch. So here is Nick speaking to the good people outside Fenway Park.
What's your name?
Daniel.
Can we use this for the radio?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right, where are you from?
C-Town.
C-Town.
You know what? I've heard enough of these. I knew immediately what he was talking about.
So did I.
Immediately.
Yeah, I got that one.
Concord?
Yes. Yes. Right, Concord. Yes, that's where he's from.
C-Town.
C-Town, where's C-Town?
Charlestown.
Charlestown.
All right. Why are you leaving the game so early?
Whoa, guys. Sox are done.
8-4.
Sox are
trying to
beat
traffic.
Sox are sweeping it. We might as well beat traffic, guy.
How much did you spend on a ticket?
We don't want to talk about that. No comment.
On the free tip.
What?
Stock right in free.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Why pay?
That's right.
You can just sneak right in. I wonder if these are people of the bird.
Bird doesn't do that.
Wonk, 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 wonk.
No.
I just don't know. I mean, I don't know how you get in. You know, I don't know how you sneak in. If you pulled some trickery.
Maybe he's got a pole vault?
I have no idea. Why is this not firing? Come on, baby.
There's a poster on the wall, Lucky Strike. Just like the Shawshank Redemption, they've built a tunnel.
Who knows?
You snuck in right in for free?
Yep.
All right.
All five of us.
All five? Where's the other three?
Hey,
keep
no comment.
You lost your friends.
Yeah.
You're bad friends.
Yeah.
All right. What do you think about the game tonight?
So they snuck in five guys?
That's impressive.
How is that?
How do you do that?
Yeah. There's like security and stuff.
How is that done? Like five people? Honestly, how do you get five people in there? Now, I've been a firm believer is that if you look like you're in the right place, no one will question it.
Yeah, these guys seem like they've looked like reporters coming in.
That was my point. My point is, I don't see them looking the Ken Rosenthal type, like wearing, like, you know, a suit. Like, maybe they've got to be kind of official business at Fenway
maybe
Park.
Maybe they're all wearing bow ties and everyone got confused.
That could be it.
All right. What do you think about the game tonight?
Sox in five. Sox look pretty good.
Okay. And what are your thoughts on James Taylor? He performed the national anthem tonight.
I'll take the Kaepernick on Neil on that one.
You will?
Yeah.
All right. Who would you want?
An American. Yeah. I mean, you just got into a game for free.
Yeah, you got to respect.
That's what makes America great.
Seriously.
Now you're going to start taking a knee?
The hell is your problem?
Come on.
Come on.
You're better than that.
All right, who would you want to see perform?
Someone with a hell of a rack.
With an ass. Someone with a hell of an ass. Kim Kardashian.
What are you guys doing?
So who's the best backup QB to ever play in the NFL?
Ever.
Hang on, you went from having a nice ass to talking about Zolak. That's a little interesting.
Wait,
James Taylor kind of fits all those requirements.
Different strokes, you know.
I mean, there's a boob man and an ass man.
I mean, honestly, how tough is it not to cringe when James Taylor gets out there? Like, how you just not go? You were at the game, Dan.
Was it on TV?
Oh, yeah. They showed it before the Bill Belichick thing. Yeah. Like, before the game.
I missed James Taylor. How long did he take to do it?
It wasn't that long. He got to sped right through it.
No, he did. Once he realized he wasn't in key for the first couple of notes, and it almost sounded like he was tuning up his guitar, he's like, I got to get out of here.
Yeah. It seemed like that. It seemed like a guy, like a comedian, trying to rush through a set when he knew he lost the crowd. Yeah, that's not a fun place to be when James Taylor goes on.
But that's kind of a sweet spot crowd for him.
Yes.
Like, the people that are at a Worlds can afford to go to a World Series game people...
That's a good point.
...that would go to a James Taylor concert.
Doesn't that say something about that?
And the build-up, too, Fred. The announcer, they're like, beyond the Grammys, beyond the million sold. And you look around, you're like, oh, it's James Taylor.
No, he's well-known from Stockbridge to Boston.
That was the intro. Thank you, John.
All right.
How do you get five... Real quick, how do you get five people into a game? Like, that's insane. I'm kind of obsessed with this now. Has anybody ever gotten five of your friends into a game for free?
I don't know. You could also be lying. I mean...
These guys were in there.
I didn't say they weren't at the game. I find it very hard to believe they snuck five guys into a World Series game. I mean, there's Major League security there.
617-779-0985. You ever been snuck in with five guys into the Fenway Park? Or just have you ever, like, a group of people? Like, I one time paid off a security guy at a concert to get me and a bunch of friends into a Metallica show. I gave him, I think it was, we pulled together $40 between the five of us, and he looked the other way after the show had started. And
he
just
must
let us
have
in.
Really valued that job for that $40.
Well, no one was around, and, you know, he doesn't look like somebody who liked Metallica.
What are you smoking right now?
Oh, that bad, you know.
Oh, a dab?
Oh, dab, man.
You see his eyes?
Look at my eyes, Chief.
They're as red as a devil's...
That's exactly how this is supposed to be when you sneak into the Red Sox.
All right, one more thing. If you could say anything to the Boston Red Sox, what would it be?
Hey, John Henry, you making enough money off the concession stands, you motherfucker?
Keep it going, guy.
We're stuck into the game. You.
Just imagine if you paid money to get in and then had to spend $14 on beer.
Right.
I mean, that's a little worse, don't you think?
How you get your beer for free then?
Well, I mean, if you're smoking dabs, I don't know how much you need for concessions.
How about that? I say, if you and five of your friends ever got into the game for free, snuck in, and the phone lines blow up.
Oh, God.
Our listeners are something else.
Full phone lines.
All right.
God.
Mike, go ahead.
Hey,
what's up, Mike?
What's going on, guys?
Hey.
So, a buddy of mine, we went to the Notre Dame BC game at Fenway Park. He actually went onto the field, jumped onto the field, went down by the Fenway Red Sox dugout, jumped onto the field, and we ended up getting kicked out. And then for the second half, we just started walking around Fenway and started pushing on doors. Ended up getting in one of those doors, walked in the back way, and went to our original seat. So.
Yeah, any BC game doesn't count.
Right, they're kind of just like, look the other way.
Yeah, like, BC.
Please come.
Yeah, BC, you can kind of just walk in. And right. I know that Notre Dame is a popular program and everything, but...
Put it this way, back in my early radio days, the All-Star game was in the town we were in, and we wanted to test out that thing, if you look like you know what you're doing, can you get into anywhere? And I just... My whole thing is that if you have a clipboard, you can get it anywhere. So I wore a clip, or I held a clipboard, and I pretended I was on the phone. I walk right past security, and I got on the pitcher's mound the morning of the All-Star game, which is nuts. And the thing that sucks is we were doing it live on the air, and they immediately heard, and I had security chase me out. But, I mean, it's easier than you think if you just have confidence, I guess.
Yeah, but that was as impressive a feat as it was. That was also not during the game. Matt, go ahead.
Matt.
Yes, hi. So I had a friend that used to work security at the bar that is down in the basement on Yawkey Way there.
Yeah.
And so before the games, if you used to, you know, go down into that bar, it had an entranceway that you didn't need a ticket to get into the bar. But then if you had a ticket, you could go from the bar onto Yawkey Way and get into the stadium. So my friend used to work security there, and we'd bring old ticket stubs from past games and just walk up the stairs, and he would pretend like he was scanning our tickets, and we'd walk five guys in, no problem.
But once you go, okay, now correct me if I'm wrong. Once you're on Yawkey, no, that's right. Now they take the tickets before you get onto Yawkey. That's right. They've got all the security stuff. Yeah, so if you know somebody who works at that bar, that's not a bad way to get in. Absolutely.
Yep. Many, many ways into Fenway. That's another reason they got to get rid of that dump. All right.
And we have a full phone lines of people who know how to get in.
All right. So we can continue that. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Fletcher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
98.5 to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Tony Maserati going to join us. He was out there late last night. But people want to talk about how we had played a Red Sox recap about people. Five guys who they said snuck into Fenway Park. And here's what people are saying. All right. Danny, go ahead.
Hey, yeah, so on Brookline Street, there is what's it's called Wheels Up Clubhouse, like a private members only club.
Yes, I've been there.
It's not like a bar you'd go to before the game. But so there's an exit door onto Brookline Street, but to be in the clubhouse, you're technically supposed to have already been in the stadium, and then there's a guy who checks you coming in. But if you can get into the clubhouse off of Brookline Street, you can get right into the stadium because they assume you've already gone through the main security. So either you got to know a guy or you can talk to the guy, whoever's working the door. If you can get them to let you into the Wheels Up Clubhouse off of the main street, you can walk right into the stadium from there.
Oh, well, listen, there's many, many, many things going on that you can do. Matt, go ahead.
Hey, gentlemen, how are we doing?
Hey, what's up?
So, I think you guys should be careful about how many people you get to talk about ways into the stadium. Isn't it like Bird's only other job to like not let people sneak in the stadium?
Well, first of all, Bird is a man of great integrity.
Yeah, Bird doesn't man the post at the Wheels Up.
He's not at a bar. He's not Wheels Up. And second of all, I'll have you know that Bird drives a Lyft. So he's got
third job.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's got jobs. Don't you worry.
He's quit the health food store where he was cutting bananas.
Why did he do that? I thought that was a key part of the income for a while.
Well, I mean, he's working mornings. He's working nights.
Yeah.
He's
a go-getter.
Yeah. And then he's got to drive the Lyft around.
Sure.
So, Matt, none of this applies to Bird. Okay.
Well, one more thing. Sarge sucks. Bye.
All right. Thank you, Matt. All right, let's go to Neil. Neil, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hello.
Hello.
I got an all right deal with one of my friends has a connection, and we meet outside one of the gates. And I'm a little apprehensive to go too far with this because I don't want to screw the whole thing up for future events, but I'll say that we meet up with a city official outside one of the gates. We get escorted to the gate. And then we get escorted from there to the elevator, and then we go up to the Green Monster, and that's pretty much it. It's an open house. I was there for opening day this year. And that's it.
Now, can you sit? Like, are there seats available, or do you stand?
So we end up on top of the Green Monster, and you can, you know, we've lucked out, and, you know, we have been able to sit, but, you know, basically standing on the Green Monster.
That's like out where the K-Card guys are, out in left center, those guys?
Yeah. What's yeah, I think about six guys opening day.
So you see, you got six guys in?
Yeah.
That is quite like impressive.
Like I said, we get escorted to the gate by a city official.
All right. Well, listen, you're a man of great prominence.
And I thought there was integrity across the board, too, in local government.
All right. Anthony, go ahead.
Hey, boys. What's happening?
Hey, what's up?
So I'm not a big baseball guy. I don't know who we were playing. We were all drinking in a parking lot outside of the stadium. And there's like this fake, this is 2004, but there's like this fake green monster that we were all looking at, and we saw a bunch of kids start trying to climb up the fence. So we ran over there and helped a bunch of them, boosted us up, and snuck like 5, 6, 7 people in there, and we all just scattered and took off.
Wait, a mini green monster?
Yeah, they probably patched this hole. It's from a long time ago, but it was like, there's like a big cement fence that was easy to get over. And then there's like this big chain link fence, and we all hopped over it. We all got boosted up, hopped over, and scattered. They caught us around like the sixth or seventh guy, but we all got in.
All right.
Okay. All right. Maybe after the first five, you're like, all right, someone's going to notice this. Because I imagine it takes, what, 15 seconds a guy? So if you're out there for like 3 or 4 minutes boosting people up.
And then you got to
eventually,
scatter.
Yeah.
Right. Then you got to run like the Dickens.
Yeah.
That's always impressive when you can get that many people in there. Because one person on their own, whatever. You could, I mean, but you get that many in there, how the radars don't go up, that's a little strange. Now, there are certain parts of Fenway Park that I realized that, you know, anyone could probably walk into. Like, you know where all of the news trucks, like, park kind of over where Lucky Strike is down at the end? There's that area, and I always see people just kind of walking in and out where those fences are. And I'm thinking, you know, that's probably a beeline right to the field. Like, you get in there, and there's probably a tunnel that takes you out towards where the back of the field is, right?
There's probably security that's right at the
entrance. But they don't know who the new, like, camera, you know, guy is or assistant. I mean,
listen, if I was doing security, I wouldn't care at all.
Well, that's why they would hire you.
I mean, I wouldn't. I mean, what do I need to hassle myself for? Like, if I was doing security and someone just walked past me, I'd be like, what? I mean, all right. What do you. Oh, boy, don't go in there. Brad, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, boys?
Hey, what's up?
All right, so over by the Cask and Flagon, it was Clemens was pitching versus Martinez. So over by the Cask and Flagon, there's a turnstile that lets you out but not in. Guaranteed 2 people, but there must have been 8 people that slid in after us. So you and your buddy go grab the bottom bar. And pull up, it comes up like you bend an EMT, slide right under there, you two are in. And then 8 people must have came in behind us, and I heard the security guy, he's wearing a Martinez jersey. I'm like, yeah, good luck.
Yeah.
So that's a turnstile that's not really monitored because no one's looking to see if, now no one cares if you're leaving, it's just kind of sitting there all by itself.
You can't get back in anyways, correct. You can't get back in anyways, so no one's really looking at it. The security guards are watching the game if it's important anyways. They're not like, if you're working security, you're watching the game still. So you pull the bottom one up, you two are definitely in, and whoever else is behind you if they want. But then he's got to run. See you later.
Okay, all right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Everyone scatters and runs.
I know, just like roaches.
Like, wouldn't you think that that's like the worst strategy? Just to start running.
That's true. Security sees people running in the building, probably thinks something's up.
No, you just like you just blend into a mob. You know, like the people who are waiting for a hot dog or something, or you just kind of just blend in there. And he's absolutely right. You go straight to the bathroom. You're kind of trapped in a bathroom. I wouldn't do that.
Well, no, I mean, that's the thing. You calmly walk away and find a long line.
Well, it's like if you shoplift on a busy road, like in Boston, like in the city, like if you take off running in a mob of people, you're not exactly blending in. Like I guess the idea would be to just get into the mob of people.
So it's into one of the concessions, like $20 a beer, because everybody's sneaking in. What is the paid attendance? 6. So I think the guy that mentioned the mini green monster actually snuck into the backyard of someone who created a miniature Fenway to play wiffle ball.
Yeah, that's exactly what it sounds like. Because he goes, I'm not a big baseball fan. I mean, for all we know,
wait a minute,
he snuck into like Everett High,
right?
And then some
he,
guy, no,
he ended up in the Miracle League field.
No, yeah, it might have been like that guy in the suburbs that built like a life size Fenway where he plays wiffle ball. You know,
when did they move Fenway to Norwood? Hey, right by the auto mile. It's smart. It's convenient.
That guy who created the mini Fenway. That's good luck selling that house. Chris, go ahead.
Hey guys, first of all, Rich, you're right. It's all about showing that you're, you know, you acting like you're in the right place.
Yep.
I grew up in Melrose on the Orange Line. I got into probably over 100 games. My high school is famous for having kids go into, I don't know, the Boston Garden and taking the, you know, the Larry Bird sign. But basically, we had a bunch of kids in the high school that worked for Aramark over at the stadium.
Oh yeah.
All they did was give us copies of their badges, and we would literally go every day, show up at the first inning, show them our badges, tell them we're running late. They would let us right in.
Oh, genius.
Over 100 games.
Oh, my
so
God.
Every day of the week, constantly. Me and all my friends from Arrows High. It was amazing. I'll get away with that now. That's all changed with security. But back then, we were going every single day.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's like you could make fake IDs back in the day, but now they're all like lasers and
yeah, holograms
yeah,
on
and
the
you
thing.
You can scan them.
Because right.
I think a lot of times, can't you get one of those Aramark badges? Because it's not actual employees. It's like youth leagues or whatever who are doing it for charity, right? I know that at Gillette they do that, where some of the booths are like the Boys and Girls Club. So you, for a day, get some sort of pass.
They still have to scan it.
Well, now they would. But yeah. Back in the day, you got to think that they just handed you a little placard. And you're like, hey, I'm good to go.
Dude, I had a fake ID to buy liquor that said I was Felipe Pinzone, and it didn't have my picture on it. And it said I was born in 72, and I was issued my license in 72. I mean, it was, and I still got in everywhere.
Oh, you see, I had the
things
best.
Things have changed.
I had a brother who was 6 years older than me, and he had lost his ID, got a new one, found it, and I asked him if I could have it, and I look like him. So it worked like a charm for at least 4 months until it got confiscated.
Mine never got confiscated. I still have it. I kept it as a memory. My wife's big sister and her sorority gave her information, and my wife went and got an ID with that woman's information. You think to yourself, how dumb is that chick that gave her all that?
I know. Hang on. There's two more calls we have to take. We got to take one. We got to take five.
All right. I'll take five, and then we got to go. All right. Andrew, go ahead.
Yeah. So, again, another college one, but the national championship at the TD Garden, Providence versus BU. We had a couple healthy scratches that we knew on the team on BU. So my buddy and I wore suits, and he just came out with, I think it was Eichels or some one of the guys that were playing who left their player passes in the locker room while they're on the ice. So we put those around our neck and just acted like we were players, knew what we were doing with healthy scratches, and walked in with suits and the player passes and walked right in and watched the game.
So you pretended to be a player to get into the TD Garden?
Exactly.
Okay.
There you have it.
So he just said, a bright green vest has gotten me into lots of games.
Yeah.
See, he just dressed the part. Well, no one would wear a bright green vest if they're just going to enjoy the game. They obviously are doing some sort of work here at Fenway Park.
Maybe
we got to let them in.
You're lucky the leprechaun. All right, we'll talk to Maz. We'll get an update on what he's going to complain about this evening. He was on TV late last night. He was on TV after the game. We'll talk to him. No commercials here, just the headlines.
Sports Hub.
He's kind enough to join us early in the morning. What time did you get home last night?
Oh, geez, I don't know. It was a little after 2, I think it was, like in bed at 2:15 or something like that, Fred.
I'm fascinated why NBC Sports Boston insists on having these post-game shows where, like, obviously people are going to bed, you know?
Well, you know what, Fred? I believe it or not, people are staying up and watching, from what I understand. And I'm no expert on the cable TV ratings, but the post game ratings have been good, from what I'm told. And you know, people are into it, man. They're staying up. They're watching these. They want to see what players are saying and managers are saying after games. I don't think they're tuning in for me, I'll tell you that.
Well, hey, Fred, jobless buffoons.
Fred, two words: star power.
It is star
yeah,
power.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So A little underwhelmed with the lineup last night for the Dodgers. When you have Freeze hitting third, it didn't seem an overwhelming lineup.
Well, so this is the thing, right? Is the Dodgers are weak against lefties, and I think now we know why. And actually, Freeze has done, believe it or not, has done a pretty. I looked it up last night. I think since he started playing for them, and I think he joined them late in the year. Forgive me for not knowing that. I don't follow the Dodgers all season long. I think Freeze was hitting something like .464 against left-handed pitching since he joined the team.
No.
So now look, but I'm with you, Fred. It is an underwhelming lineup against left-handed pitching, and I think that's part of the problem. As the game went on, you started to see some of these guys come off the Dodger bench, and to me, that's when they get scary. Is when Bellinger, Muncie, Peterson come off the bench, Grandal comes off the bench. All those guys can hurt you. Now, Peterson's trick or treat, but the bottom line is they get all these lefties. And honestly, I thought in the seventh inning in particular, the Dodgers got more favorable matchups and the Red Sox got away with it. So Brazier was able to get, he got himself in a jam, but he got a couple of outs. And then Rodriguez came in and got a big out. And honestly, I think he was lucky because yes. He got behind 2-0 and he threw a fastball down the middle that Bellinger popped up and hit for a routine fly to center field. But I'm willing to bet that those things will come up again. Those matchups will come up again. And clearly Cora will take them because he brought Brazier into the game knowing what the situation was going to be. Both managers liked those matchups in the seventh. The Red Sox won them last night, and I think that there's every chance that the Dodgers will win the next time through.
Okay, so when I asked Sean Casey about the Dodgers struggling against left-handed pitching, and I was shot down by everyone, I was actually correct.
Fred, you were right.
Thank you, Tony Maserati. Thank you.
Everyone,
finally a voice of reason.
Wait a minute. Everyone shot you down? The conversation after Sean Casey gently reminded you that they have a lot of right-handed hitting was all yours about how you were embarrassed that you said it.
I was getting ahead of the situation.
Jesus.
All right, continue.
All right, Maz, about the rover that Cora implements. You have the starters basically pitching on their throwing day, and Matt Barnes comes into the game in the sixth inning or the fifth last night, and it seems to be working. The pitching backwards, I guess, seems to be working for the bullpen.
So, John, I think that what Cora is telling us, and he mentioned this last night, is that if there are men on base, he's bringing in a reliever, right? It's really that simple, that there are men on base in that situation, so he goes to Barnes. It feels like he's trying to give Brazier clean innings to start. And again, I'd have to go back and check every appearance in the Houston series, but it felt to me like Brazier was coming in at the start of innings. Barnes was coming in the middle with men on. And then, you know, it's Evaldi or Porcello in the eighth. And again, I think this all comes down to that matchup stuff, which is they're looking at the Dodger lineup and they're saying, okay, depending on what the matchups are, if it's going to be a string of righties, maybe we go with Porcello. If it's lefties, we go with Evaldi because he throws harder and is a little nastier when he's on, or maybe a lot nastier. So they've assigned that eighth inning to the quote unquote rover, and I guess we're giving it a name now. But that it's working for him. And to me, again, the key guys are, you know, I don't mind the idea of bringing those starters in. That's fine. That's a good way to do it in the postseason. You can't do it in the regular season. You do it in the playoffs. But I think the key is that the bullpen that failed them, the guys in that bullpen that failed them during the year are coming through now. And that's Barnes, and that Brazier was pretty good for the most part, but he was unproven. You know, and the other two guys failed miserably at times, and now they're coming through. And again, that's why I think Kelly was a huge guy last night, too. It was, you know, there was a little hole there before between Barnes and Brazier, and they had to fill it. Kelly came in, and honestly, I don't know about you guys, that might have been the best he's ever pitched in a Red Sox uniform. Like, that was excellent what Kelly did, and this is how it's going for him. The guy sucks for 3 months. Yeah. They stick him into the World Series, and he's dominant.
Yeah, that's the thing that's always been frustrating about Kelly is that he has that ability to be dominant, and he's had, you know, he's had good years. I mean, I thought he was going to be a sensational starting pitcher when the Red Sox traded for him, and he can have games like that where he's dominant. And it's a little frustrating.
Absolutely, Fred. And look, I mean, you know, we all know he throws 100, and now the off-speed stuff is getting better, and I thought that was a big part of his outing last night. I think I looked it up, and so forgive me if I'm wrong, but I think he threw 14 pitches, 11 strikes. Like, for Joe Kelly, that is like neurosurgery. You know, he's not that good. when it comes to precision, right? He's just not that kind of guy. But of all the guys that appeared in that game last night, I thought Kelly was the best pitcher in the game. I mean, he was awesome, overpowering, you know, precise, all of it. He was really, really good. That was a big inning for them.
Well, Matt, Kimbrel wasn't far behind. And based on what you saw in the closeout game against Houston and what you saw last night, are we back to good Craig Kimbrel, or is it just wait and see Craig Kimbrel?
Yeah, John, I thought he was better last night than he was in the final Houston game. I thought a little too much was made of that final Houston outing. You know, there was still a guy on base. He gave up a deep fly ball to left field to Tony Kemp, I think it was. So I don't, you know, he was better in the final Houston game. I still don't think he was all that good. Last night he was a lot better, but we all know, caveat, 4-run lead.
Yeah.
And I know he's been bad in the other games with big leads, but Nunez hits a big home run. The game blows. If that's 5-4, I'm not sure we get the same Craig Kimbrel. So the Red Sox can feed me all they want about his delivery and tipping pitches, and that still doesn't explain to me him totally yanking pitches to the left-handed batter's box in a pressure situation. I think the guy cracks. I think it's that simple. And so, I don't know, maybe he's getting a little more comfortable because now it's 4 or 5 games. Maybe it was just a good night and he had a 4-run lead. I have no idea, but I don't look at Kimbrel and say, you know, the problem's solved. Yeah, I feel better about him going in the next game because I don't.
All right. Lineup-wise, for the Red Sox tonight, Alex Cora, you know, played a hunch. He sat Eduardo Nunez against a left-handed starter, and then they bring in a left-handed reliever. He pinch hits Nunez and gets a 3-run homer out of him. What's the lineup look like tonight?
So, look, I think they're going to look at the kind of pitcher Ryu is, and I haven't looked at Ryu versus left and right. I'd keep playing Devers if I were them. I just think there's something about this guy that works in October. And going into last night, you know, we all know the RBI stat now that they threw out there last night, that, I don't know, it's eight consecutive postseason starts with an RBI. It matches Lou Gehrig, A-Rod, and I don't remember who the other one is in baseball history for, like, the longest postseason streak with an RBI. But I think that he's having good at-bats. It feels like he has stabilized defensively, and frankly, I don't think Nunez is much better. So, to me, I'd go with the guy who's locked in at the plate. He's got a career postseason average now with something like .350 as a 22-year-old. It feels like he gets a big hit every game in the postseason. I'm sticking with Devers, but again, Cora is, you know, doing stuff that people aren't expecting all the time, and he's making moves no matter what happens the night before. He pulls a guy out of the lineup who gets hits. And so whatever they do, I'm sure it'll be right because it feels like it's just he's hitting everything.
All right, what is there to complain about?
Yeah, what do we hear from 2-6 today?
Well, so look, I mean, to me, what I would look at from last night's game is I don't think you're going to get anything better from Chris Sale going forward. I think this is it. And he had 9 days off this time. The rest has helped him. And I think he's been stronger coming out of long rest. But he lost it fast last night. And when I say lost it, in the first inning, I thought his stuff was really good. Maybe the best we've seen it. The ball was really live, and I'm not just going by radar gun readings. I'm going by the whole package. It was, you know, the ball had some snap at the end of it. It was getting by hitters. He had a good slider, like all of that stuff. And then by the end of the second, into the third, I felt like the ball wasn't as live, and he was starting to get hit. And, you know, he didn't get some calls, but I don't think Kershaw did either. I thought the home plate umpire last night sucked.
Yeah.
The strike zone was tiny.
Yeah.
And so, and I would say for both sides, I don't like it when it's like that. But if you're expecting a better Chris Sale in the next game, I think you're out of your mind. Yeah, I think this is what it is. And I think the shorter the rest, the worse he gets. Again, I think they got lucky a little bit there in the middle of the game, too, because the Dodgers get some matchups they liked. J.D. Martinez made a stupid mistake on the bases, getting picked off.
Yeah.
I thought Benintendi was a little passive on a couple of balls hit to the outfield. So, and it just, that some of that felt a little different. You know, it was a 3-3 game there in the middle. And I think you're generally going to get tight games.
All right, Tony Maserati, 2-6, plus he's part of the post game, the very successful post game on NBC Sports Boston. Thank you so much, Tony. We appreciate it.
Hey, guys, if there's anything to complain about, I'll find it.
All right.
We have faith, bud. We have big faith.
Thank you. We appreciate it. We'll be back. We have more recaps and Gorman on the way.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Hey, Coach, how about those socks?
How about them?
The more I think, I thought about that.
How about them socks?
I'm such an awful person that I thought about that a lot yesterday. That's someone asking Belichick about just the way he says it, too. How about those socks?
Coach, how about those socks?
Yeah, how about them, jackass? Just like if he was like, hey, you know, what do you think about the
Do you want to say anything to Alex Cora?
Like, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how about them socks? All right, what is this, 1920 there, newsboy?
That's right. Hey, how about them socks?
How about
read
them
about
socks?
It in the fish wrap. Where ya?
Why don't, get him out of here, is what I would say.
Sandman!
How about them, jackass? You sit there. How about you waste everyone's effing time?
I mean
and tell me about the what. How about them?
That is Sports Talk, Matt. With
hey, Bobby. You know the Yankees are in town. Bunch of New York media is here in the room with us. You know, what do you think?
I got a bone to pick with Wallach.
Why?
What did I do?
Because we talked to Sean Casey on the show, and I said that the Dodgers struggle against left-handed hitting, and then he said they have a bunch of right-handed hitters. And they do struggle against left-handed pitching, and you allowed me to beat myself up about it after the Sean Casey interview.
You did that all on your own. There was no stopping you.
You should have said, Fred, listen, pal.
Listen, bud, put my arm around you, chuck you on the shoulder, and go, it's not all bad.
Fred, listen, pal.
How about those socks?
How about those socks?
How about those socks? You look like you were in full Fred, you know, self-destruct mode there for about 5 minutes. Well, who am I to stop you?
That lineup sucked last night.
Yes, it did.
Dozier, like, hit, like, under...
He hit leadoff, and you're going to see more of that tonight.
They can't win with that lineup.
Well, they're going to... I'm sure that at least... 6 or 7 of those guys are going to be back out there tonight.
I mean, they got to mix it up a little bit. I understand against Sale, but they can't go all right against
Dave. Dave Roberts outthought himself last night.
He did outthought
Outthought himself. He's like, I got all this right-handed pitching. The Sox have basically one lefty in the bullpen. I'm not worried, you know, about matching up again. They're going to bring in right-handed relievers. I'll put up all my left-handed hitting, and whatever I lose at the beginning of the game, I'll make back with Bellinger and Muncy and all those guys at the end. And it almost worked, but it didn't. So now you have decisions to make for game two.
You can't. You agree you can't trot out that lineup again.
No, you have to make a couple of changes. Yes. Absolutely.
I mean, you got a guy who hit .087, I believe.
Did not succeed after, I mean, an all-star MVP quality player while he was with Minnesota. He hit over 40 home runs a couple of years ago. Yeah. Or maybe it was last year. And he hit over 20 home runs this year, but most of it came in Minnesota. Yeah, you got to figure out a different way to do this. Roberts is not stupid. He'll figure it out. He'll bring in some different guys.
Well, I can't speak of the man's intelligence. All I know is I'm blowing up.
Hey, Coach, how about those socks?
Oh, they're great. Stupid.
Thumbs up. How about him?
It's all good, baby.
Can you imagine if you're sitting there? It's all good, baby. Can you imagine if you're sitting there? And, like, you don't want to be there, and Belichick's a prick, and you just want to, like, get a nugget, just something. And then the guy sits there, and he goes, how about them socks? And you just, like, want to kill him.
Can we get Nick a press pass for every week to stand in front of Bill Belichick, and before whatever team they're playing, hey, Bill, how about them Bills?
Yeah.
Hey. How about them Raiders?
No, that makes sense.
How about them Jets?
That's a stupid question, but at least it's in the realm of his expertise.
Or maybe he's just asking teams.
No, just like, how about the Calgary Flames? It doesn't even matter. How about them Sox? If I had a friend, like, if someone's dad said that to me, I'd be like, yeah. Right. But, like, you know, like, all right, yeah, it's a nice, like, let's make small talk. But, like, if a friend come up to me and go, hey, how about them Sox?
All right. How about those Sox?
You just turn around and walk away.
You just take your thumb and go,
How about them Sucks? If you, and then there are all these theories that Belichick, who obviously was not pissed off about the Red
no,
Sox
because he did the thing. Yeah, yeah.
But, and I understand the speculation. You don't get anything out of them. But I don't think that it had any, well, it obviously had nothing to do with anything about the Globe because it was just an idiotic question.
Hey, Coach, how about those Sucks?
It's just a...
It's not easy being green.
Mousy, stupid... Watch, it's like this guy who, like... donates all his time to charity and stuff.
That's right. He could be a good person, but ask a dumb question.
No, but it's beyond dumb. It's infuriating. It's if he said, "Do you like the Red Sox?" How anything but
how about them socks?
Hey, dude, how about them socks?
I'm a turtle.
That's more of a frog.
Well, it sounds like Kermit, but he just... Turtle. I just picture him...
Turtle's got more of a back of a throat clown.
I just picture him all turtly.
Hey, Coach, how about those Sucks?
All right. The young Nicholas was out at the Red Sox game yesterday.
Oh, yes.
And he talked to some people. We will have that for you.